DJ Nightcam, what do you do?
This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is feeling amazing.
Good morning, DMV. You are tuned into the Kickback with me, your host, Diamond B. Frazier. We are back at it again. I don't know what episode this is. I want to say 3, could be 4. I don't know, sue me. But today I have with me this brother. I actually went to his event, Pass the Ox. Shout out to them. And his name is Tinsky. So how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show, Diamond.
Thank you for coming. Again. Yes, it is. So let's just, because you're pretty new to this, or if you're not, I'm new to you, so I'm gonna learn you. Where did that name come from?
Well, my last name's Butensky.
Okay.
And you know, growing up, people would always, you know, pronounce it wrong, Butensky, Bun and Sky. You know, I heard it all growing up. So I decided to drop the BU and then flip the Y to an I, just for easier pronunciation. And it's about all there is to it. You know, nothing too complicated.
All right, so let's talk about growing up in New York, because you're not actually from here. You're from New York, and you came here off of the strength of going to college.
Right.
So what was it like growing up in New York?
Well, to be specific, I grew up in the Long Island area, mostly suburbs, nothing really terribly interesting about it. You know, just went to school, did my thing. It was around high school time that I started to get more into rap and hip-hop. Growing up, I was raised more on classic rock and things like that. So I discovered it on my own, and the interest just kept growing from there.
So being in the car with your parents, were you changing the station and listening to rap music, or you were just classic rock, and then on your own zone, you was listening to hip-hop?
Well, classic rock was more, you know, when I was younger, in like elementary, middle school type of age. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to high school, you know, I had my own car, so I had the liberty to play what music I wanted in my own, and they were allowed to have their own space, you know.
What attracted you to rapping? Like, why do that?
You mean rap music or me rapping myself?
You rapping yourself.
Ah, well, you know, why does any white kid get interested in hip-hop? You know, you hear Eminem for the first time, mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, this guy's pretty good. But then I sort of, you know, you use Eminem as a leaping off point to, you know, discover more artists and, you know, get more into rap heavily. And as I got more and more interested in it, I thought that, you know, it would be interesting to write my own rhymes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I sort of got into that. I've been writing for at least a year or two before I even recorded. I stepped foot in a booth because, you know, first impressions are very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your first rhyme's never your best. So I wanted to practice my pen. You know, I'd be practicing my delivery, like in the mirror, in my room, you know, whenever I had free time to write something down. And basically that just kept me going through college when I attended American University in D.C., and it was in that environment that I had the opportunity to find more creatives, being able to work with other rappers, singers, producers, and whatnot.
So what was your major in college? Because I'm still trying to figure out, like, how you went this rapping route.
Right.
That's what I'm just, like, I hear what you're saying.
That's
but
fair.
I'm just really trying to get there. So what was your major in college?
Well, I was a political science major. Because, you know, being in D.C., politics, very generic, but, you know, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm able to keep my schoolwork. Well, I was. I graduated in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And once I graduated, I had more time to, you know, dedicate to the music and focus on that, because it's a tough balancing act trying to juggle your school responsibilities and what you want to do in your spare time.
Okay, so since you were a political science major, how do you feel about the politics that's going on today? Did you vote? Let's start off with that.
Yes, I did vote. I filled out my absentee ballot because I'm still registered in New York, where it doesn't really matter who I vote for because, I mean, we know who's going to win that state. Hillary.
New York?
Yes.
Really? Oh, okay. I mean, yeah,
New York's a very Democratic area, at least when it comes to the presidential stuff. You know, when you break it down county by county and in the districts, there are definitely, you know, a lot of Republican politicians. But
do you feel like a lot of white people are getting backlash or a lot of hate because of Trump being in office right now?
I mean, the only white people who are getting backlash are probably, you know, the ones who deserve it, you know, the ones who either voted for Trump or the ones who, you know, still actively support his policies and are very vocal mm-hmm. against, you know, black people and other POC and things like that. White people as a whole, I don't see it personally.
Okay, and so you never really experienced some cruelty from my brothers and sisters?
No, that would be pretty silly.
Really? Where do you, what part of D.C. did you live in? Or do you live in D.C. currently?
I still live in D.C. Okay. I'm in the Northwest area, you know, since I went to American, I'm still in the area of Tenleytown. So I live there with live in a house with a few other people.
Okay.
One of them is a producer that I've worked with before. His name's Ego Def. And we had made music in the past in like 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, so you tweeted and you said, "Don't stress over temporary rappers."
That's correct.
Where did that stem from?
I see people, you know, I feel like a lot of people spend their time hating on, you know, the new school of rappers saying, you don't exemplify hip hop, you're not this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you got to realize that you're wasting a lot of energy on rappers who have shelf lives of maybe 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot more important things to focus on in the world than why is this person making money? Why does this person have the spotlight? I mean, in a few years, they're going to be left in the dust. And, you know, the other problems that you may have in your life are still going to be there. So,
do you see longevity for your rap career?
Of course. I plan on rapping as long as I want to. Okay.
So what's going to make you be out there for years and still be known like Tinsky the household name and not these shelf rappers?
What's going to make me a household name, did you say?
Yeah. What's going to hold you out there that long? Like, why are you different than the new school? Or are you the same as them?
Well, it depends who you define as the new school. You know, I don't like to pigeonhole everyone in the same category. But as far as me personally, I just feel like, you know, I focus on my craft. I try to make lasting music that you can play and discover, you know, 5 years from now, mm-hmm. and it'll still sound fresh. Yeah. I'm not trying to make music of the moment. A lot of people will see one rapper find success one way, and they'll all think, oh, I gotta do it this way too. You know, mm-hmm. They're making money, and if I do what they're doing, then I'll make money also. But it's not a sustainable way because, you know, waves change, trends go back and forth, and, you know, you can only ride waves for so long.
So if you could get signed right now, what label would you be signed to?
Probably none, okay. To be honest.
So you think you can make it as an independent artist?
Yes.
Wow.
I think labels are pretty archaic. I would definitely consider signing like a distribution deal maybe, mm-hmm. or something like that in order to get my music out to more people. But as far as a whole label, all that 360 deal nonsense,
no,
it's not really
not for you.
Not really on my radar.
Does your family listen to your music?
Yes, they do.
And what do they say about it?
They enjoy it. You know, they were surprised that I could create these full fleshed out songs with all these intricate lyrics and things like that. They always knew that I had an interest in rap music and things like that. Mm-hmm. But when I dropped my recent EP Rehearsal, that was their introduction to my music.
Okay. And you are a Kendrick fan.
Hmm?
You are a Kendrick Lamar fan.
That is correct.
Okay. So if you had to, this was a life or death situation.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I need you to rap at least the first verse to one Kendrick song, verbatim. That's it.
All right. Well, I'll have to bleep myself out for the N-word.
Go ahead. But, you know. I'm glad you know.
Trying to think of which one. There's so many good ones.
And you know all of them.
I know a good amount. Section 80 was my introduction into Kendrick.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. I got to make sure you're a real Kendrick fan, man.
Sure. Back in this pit, in the back of that pit, with my back against the wall, and your pit on the edge of my is jump off. I call a bitch or hush, a woman, I never did nothing but break the ground on top of the asphalt. Tire marks gave you evidence that I'm easily pedaling with the speed of a lightning bolt. As a kid, I killed two adults. I'm too advanced. I live my life the wiser man. Truth be told, I'm like 87, wicked as 80 reverends with in a pool of fire with devils holding hands. From a distance, don't know which one is a Christian man. Who can I trust in 2012? That's no one, not even myself. A Gemini screaming for help, somebody. Hold up.
Yes! Yeah. Okay, Kendrick Faye.
I messed up
that.
A little bit on that part. But,
you good.
The essence was there.
Because a lot of people mumble over it, and I will say I do that when the song comes on, because I'll be knowing all the lyrics. But that's what's up. Can you freestyle?
Not too off the top of my head, honestly. Not too well. Not enough to, fully showcase good. My talents. It's something that I'm definitely still practicing and trying to hone that skill.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. So what drew you to Kendrick Lamar? What is it about him that you like?
I think, he has definitely an interesting way of delivering his verses. You know, mm-hmm. It's not exactly the conventional method in which, you'll hear a lot of rappers, even from, his time from 5 years ago that were just coming out, sort of delivering that. Mm-hmm. He can change flows, on a dime.
Yes.
And his voice is pretty animated. You might get some alien voice Kendrick. You might get some deep voice. You might get some paranoid schizophrenic. That kind of thing. I don't know how to describe it. But, it's entertaining to listen to. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics are there and the flow is on point. And, on Section 80, I just love the production on that. I like how we kept it in-house. With Soundwave, Tay Beast, all them.
So we're about to listen to your song Overseas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, this is the first listen, actually, of Overseas. This will be a song that will be featured on the Pasta Aux Volume 1 mixtape. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of exclusive and previously released songs from artists who have performed in Season 1 of Pasta Aux. And basically, I guess the theme of Overseas is that, I'm in this position where rap is taking me to so many different places that I would have never thought possible a few years ago, and how I'm looking to go overseas as my next destination. Do shows in Europe, Asia, Africa, not Antarctica.
Okay.
Yeah. South America too. Let's cover all the continents.
I hear that.
And Australia.
This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. My heart gets a racing when I hit the station. Keep pace with my mind. Finish line is my haven. Running circles around them. Going for gold. Clearing hurdles to reach that outcome. Success isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. People pining for the 90s, but they're ever gone. I'm trying to find a little bit of middle ground. Drawn from the past to last while I'm living in the now. DJ Nightcash, what it do, fool? We're going to leave the new school. Head of the class taking note of the fools. Trying to sound like the cool kids to gain their approval. I know the truth can be brutal. Flashing your cash, but your beats off of YouTube. Screwing producers, business as usual.
So we are back. You're still with us at the Kickback. So, yes, I did things a little bit different today. But, of course, I cannot forget. We got to do with it or quit it. So, I'm going to give Tinsky a couple questions, statements. I just need to tell. You just need to tell me and the people. Are you with it? That means you agree or quit it like I don't. But then you have to tell why.
Sounds pretty simple.
So, be prepared for whatever is about to come out of my mouth.
You got it.
All right. First one. White Americans are more likely to sell drugs. Blacks are more likely to get arrested. Now, why is that? That's because we created the system. We know how superior the black man is, and to get rid of them, we frame them. With it or quit it?
I mean, I'm definitely with it in the sense that obviously, black people get incarcerated at higher rates for petty crimes than white people do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just black men, but it's also black women who are getting arrested for crimes as well. So that's the only addendum, I guess, I would add to that. But besides that, with it.
You with it? Okay. All right. That was Hisky saying with it, y'all.
Yes.
All right. Eminem is the best white rapper ever. I know there's others out there, but no one can surpass this man. And it's not just his rapping abilities, but his character, too. That's what makes him great.
Oh boy, the white rapper with the Eminem question. That's a cool one. I'm going to quit it, actually.
Okay.
I mean,
you don't feel like he's the best?
Not with this material he's putting out. It's just he's not keeping up with his like legacy of the past stuff. I feel even his old material hasn't exactly, personally, maybe for other people it has, but it hasn't aged very well for me. Mm-hmm. I can't really like listen to much of his old stuff anymore. There are definitely other white rappers who I feel make more like consistent, listenable music, who don't talk about, you know, sexually assaulting like women who were popular like 12 years ago, like Lorena Bobbitt references. This man's like in a time capsule. But
so who would you say are the best white rappers?
Another good question. I'd say Brother Ali, he's a pretty good white rapper. Mac Miller, definitely one of the better white rappers coming out nowadays. I don't listen to too many white rappers, to be honest. Not sure if that makes me like a self-hating like white rapper.
No, it's just okay. Can you see it? So you feel like there's not much competition in terms of white rappers out there for you?
I don't see it as competition. I see it more as a sort of a label that has to be overcome. Because the thing with white rappers is that at first, it's pretty difficult to, you know, break into rap because you have to try like extra hard. Well, you don't have to try extra hard, but you have to like
prove yourself.
Yeah, you have to prove yourself because people are already going to look at you like, what's going on here? What's the situation? Mm-hmm. But then once you do break in, it's super easy for white rappers to, you know, make money, cash in on that white privilege, you know, get all the endorsements
and
stuff
That's
like
true.
That.
That's true facts. All right, so this next one. I work in retail and I noticed that, and don't be offended, this is all black and white, but it's not my fault. Hey, I just read it. Anyway, I work in retail and I noticed that black people, well, some of them are extremely respectful people. I want to say that's how they were raised, but when I think about it, I feel that's how they were built. They just respect everything. You with it or quit it?
Well, personally, I've never worked in retail, so
why? Everybody has to work in retail at least one time in their life.
Well, I still have a long life to live, so I'll work retail in the future. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't consider black people a monolith, exactly. There are disrespectful and respectful people of all, you know, races, sexes, genders, what have you.
So I don't mean to cut you off. Okay, so
it's not like I feel like I can't like give a yes or no kind of answer to that.
But from what you experience?
From what I've experienced?
Well, coming in contact, it's been like 50-50, 80-20.
I don't tend to keep a tally in my head exactly of, oh, this is a good one, this is a bad one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, you know, I've, you know, been around plenty of black people. And, you know, they've all treated me with the same respect that I give them.
Okay.
And even when I'm at these rap events and stuff like that, it's never a fixation on skin color, you know. We're just there to, you know, showcase our music. And if you're dope, you're dope. If you're not, then quit it.
That's really good that that's what you've experienced in your life, because that's far-fetched than what I've experienced and continue to experience. So it's a little bit different hearing somebody that they haven't seen a certain thing, they haven't experienced it. It's like, it's not relatable. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. I don't expect to, you know, relate to all of your experiences, but I can understand.
As long as you understand and you get it, that's what I'm for. So do Americans really believe that North Korea is capable of a nuclear attack on the U.S.? Seriously, these people have been testing missiles after missiles and have failed miserably every time. Can we just push them to the side and worry about more important things like not having free health care for the country that claims to be the number one in everything? You with that or no?
I'd say quit it, because I think America is capable of focusing on more than one thing at a time. I can't speak for the current administration, but you know, us as a nation. As far as North Korea, of course, they've failed miserably each time. That's nothing to deny. But, you know, down the road, this year, a year from now, 5 years, it's very possible they could achieve something closer to a nuclear missile that would be targeted at the U.S. So I definitely think we should keep our eye on them. Mm-hmm. I don't think full military action is necessary yet, but just let them know, like, I got my eye on you. Like, watch out, Kim.
So before I go to this next question, what is going to make you relatable to the people? Because you have to be. Because that's why people connect to people's music and stuff like that. Like, what is Tinsky's story?
Well, I feel like my story is just, you know, my come up as a rapper in the DMV scene, and all the obstacles that come with it, having to navigate through all the pay-to-play nonsense, the lack of a structure and a foundation here, the ego-driven nature of some of the artists in the area, things like that. I think every person who's like up and coming can sort of relate to that. Mm-hmm. And of course, my music also peppers in personal details about my life, you know, my struggles with religion, I guess, you know, having, you know, some depressing thoughts and times in my life. Mm-hmm. I think people can listen to that and they can appreciate it. And if they can relate to it, that's great. But if they can't, at least know that it's from the heart.
Elaborate on your struggle with religion. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was raised Jewish, but, you know, growing up, sometimes you start to clash with your faith. You think, you start to question the existence of God. You start to question, you know, the basis of your religion, things mm-hmm. like that as you grow up. Because when you're younger, you can't really...
You just go by what you're told.
You just go and you just take the information and you're like, okay, this is fine. But, you know, once you grow up, you start to think back and you're like, why is this the way it is? Or why is that not, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just those internal thoughts that I have from time to time. And I talk about it on, nothing on the EP that came out, but on this new music I'm working mm-hmm. on. It will definitely touch on subjects like those.
So now... Like years later, like you're older, are you more defined in your religion now, or is it still a daily battle?
It's definitely not a daily routine. I celebrate some of the high holidays, but even after my bar mitzvah, you know, I didn't go to Hebrew school again after that. I didn't go to temple on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think religion is something that's good to sort of keep family together, you know, you're going to event Passover, Hanukkah, things like that.
Okay.
But as far as, you know, getting in there and praying and saying all the prayers and stuff like that, it's not something I do on a weekly basis.
Okay. Sounds good. We learned about you.
Yes.
All right. So exciting. This last one right here. White rappers that rap black will with the hand movements and lyrics annoy me. Just be a rap nerd that you are, and just keep it real. Just sit down. That was all over the place. How do you feel about that?
Is that a personal quote? I thought you were attacking me.
Oh, no. No. I don't come up with this stuff.
That's
like,
fine.
I'm just the voice of the people.
Ah, got it. Well, I guess can you define the hand movements? I've never heard that, but I've heard rapping black, but, you know, is it like... We like, move the hands like this.
You Millie Rock on them a little bit.
I like the rhythm for the Millie Rock, so you won't ever have to worry about that.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
but
so...
in general... I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
but,
you're good. Go ahead. This all you, man. This all you.
I mean, definitely, you got your Iggy Azaleas who will rap black, and then when you hear him talk, she sounds like, you know, she's got the Australian accent, you know. And you're
very
just like,
true.
These are two different people. What's going on? I think people should definitely try to rap authentically as possible, you mm-hmm. know, to themselves. If some people take it the wrong way and think, oh, you're trying to, you know, imitate black people, like, I wouldn't personally get offended because I would understand where they're coming from. Hip hop's a black genre, and you should always be wary of outsiders trying to come in and sort of cash out on that.
Of course.
But... I mean, as far as, I'd say overall, I'd say I'm with it, you know, just stay like authentic to yourself. Don't try to mimic and like be something you're not. Don't try to be what you've seen on the music videos and think, oh, I can replicate that. You know, I'm not sure about the rap nerd part, you know, maybe you're not a nerd. I am personally, but you know, maybe you're not and you can rap as you will. But
okay. Are we going to have any music videos from you?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't recorded anything yet, but I'm definitely I'm working on some ideas, you know, laying out the foundation for some music videos. I'm looking to drop one for Callback off of my rehearsal EP. Mm-hmm. Date undetermined on when that will come out, but hopefully I can get it out, you know, late spring, early summer type feel. Give it a good energy.
So are we going to be expecting Past Aux 3?
Well, right now we're still on Past Aux 2.
I'm talking about the event.
Oh, the next one.
Yeah. You mean.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're putting up the final touches. I don't want to give any specific dates or anything because, you know, if this airs and it doesn't work out, then I look stupid. But, you know, we definitely have some exciting acts coming for the next show mm-hmm. and the one after it. So definitely tune in. And if you follow us at Pasta Aux, PASSDAAUX, on Twitter and Instagram, you'll be the first to find out.
I hear that. So where can we follow you and find you? Because you're not much of a tweeter.
That's correct.
Why? Before you even tell me where to find you, why are you not much of a tweeter?
Well, I had another Twitter account before, but you know, I'm all about starting fresh, clean slate. So this is sort of more of a new one.
Okay.
But I'm trying to get more active on Twitter and Instagram again, you know, give the people the content that they want. But as far as where you can find me, you can find me at Tenski Music. That's T-E-N-S-K-I Music, spelled regularly, on Twitter and Instagram, as well as on my SoundCloud.
Okay, sounds good. You got anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
I just want to thank you again for letting me on the show. Thank you for doing the interviews for our Last Past the Aux show. Those are going up soon. We're in the final editing stages, so they should definitely be coming up in the next day or so, most likely. And yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and be on the lookout for new music by me.
That was Tinsky. I'm Diamond B. Frazier. You're tuned to Kickback. See you next week. But now I can see overseas as my next destination. This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. This rapping is taking me so many places. The feeling is real and amazing. Came a long way from the basement. Now I can see overseas as my next destination. Tenski, DJ Nick Cash, Past the Aux 2017, listening to the mixtape, RIP Chef the Prince, let's get it.